Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
It is. There is plenty. There is plenty. I mean, I could, you know, I have an encyclopedia. I would need 5 reincarnations in order to do all the things I think I would like to do and I think I'm capable of doing. But one of the first ones is I have connected with a new entertainment organization in the U.S., and I will participate, and I'm going to learn about it to launch my TV program 1 hour a week, which is going to connect in what I would like to do with you, with all of you. And I think I will connect that. I'm not yet totally sure. I have a call tonight with them again. I need more content, formal content ready before I sign up and start, but that's going to be the next, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks. I mean, many things are going to happen in the next 4 or 6 weeks. Sometimes it's like I got like 10 kilos of potatoes, started to put them in a 1 kilo bag, but I manage. Sometimes I do manage. So what I would like to do is lounge in that TV, which is as the broadcast, the Discover the New Influencer. I think I'd like to tie into that because that will be worldwide and I can start talking to influencers, the new influencers around the world and not just to be too narrow focused. So that's one of them. On a personal basis, yeah, I like to go back to some of the things I neglected the last 2 years, which is on a personal note, I need to take better care of myself. I've been neglecting myself. And I've been pushing the limits a bit too much, so I need to get back, become more sensible. So, but in terms of projects, no, I think that's the only one. The rest is, there is another one which is very important, actually. Revolving change is a springboard, it's a foundation. Yeah. My vision, my dream, no, it's a plan. It's more than a vision, a dream, because I have a plan which I'm discussing with one of my partners. Is to launch Kaleidoscoper and Dynamic Profiling. Kaleidoscoper, we all know what a kaleidoscope is. I believe that change, life is a kaleidoscope. And things, while they change, they remain the same. They never are exactly the same. There's always a little turn that we give to kaleidoscope, and there's something that is different than last time, whether it is even on the environment, on the person, the experiences that we had, the things that occurred or did not occur that we expected didn't happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a service which has a software component based on a server, which is going to measure the correlation of priorities in management teams. So let me put it in simple terms, how well are the noses pointed in the same direction? Are people working all in the same direction, or are they going all over the place? We're going to measure that, and I'm going to create a concept, a service concept for coaches to work with the clients, but this is going to be on a national and industrial base. So because you have the country, we have the culture, we have the language, and then you have the industry across it. You have pharmaceutical, you have automotive, you have retail, you have finance, and it takes a bit of understanding of each industry to be able to coach top management at that level. So I'm going to create the network of consultants that are going to work and implement this change. Dynamic profiling is going to be the data, and this is crazy. This concept I've had on file for more than almost 30 years. And it is the same concept, and don't get scared when I mention the name. It's the same concept that Cambridge Analytica did, with the difference that in my specifications I can show you, I already had anticipated 25 years ago that the source of the data and the actual data, there had to be no connection. You could not trace the opinions that somebody gave to who the person was, except for generic profile items like gender, age, education, and maybe, you know, management level, because we were scared that the data could be abused. I mean, that's what we thought already at the time, which is what happened with, as we all know, with Cambridge Analytica, unfortunately. So the power is going to be at the end, this data, the growth is going to be massive and exponential. It's going to be brutal to use this data for research purposes. Now, how I'm going to use this data, I haven't got a clue, because that's really the next step. So I think that's about it.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, sir.
I read about you where it said that you were a fanatic about measuring change.
Yes.
This piece is integrated into your work.
Yes.
And I'd like you to say more about that and how, what the impact of being, have creating something measurable, how that impacts change.
It's fundamental. No measurement, no probability of change, and certainly no guarantee, and probably no tracking, which means change is going to fade and going to disappear, which is one of the problems the gurus have. They do a lot of inspiring coaching, and people do change their attitudes and maybe some of their behaviors. But at the end of the day, while the attitude prevails, the behaviors go back to what they used to be.
Yeah.
Measuring means developing what I call the baseline. So there is ways to measure. I mean, I use simple examples like, you know, I used to be a heavy smoker long, long time ago. 27 years ago, I quit smoking. But when I wanted to quit, I started measuring my smoking. How many cigarettes do I smoke per hour? Which are the hours I smoke the most? What is what triggers my smoking? Is it when I drink a coffee? Is it when I got a break? When I have a phone call? So I start measuring my behavior, and then I start taking action in terms of monitoring what I did to change that, and until I quit smoking. In terms of behavior, like take the example of the surveys that we're going to be doing with Kaleidoscope, or even now, let's take the course that I'm working on now, simple, feedback. There's going to be a survey that I'm working on, I'm preparing, based on the content of the course, I'm preparing a survey that's going to administer at the beginning of the course, before we do it. Then we do the course, and then they administer the same survey at the end of the course. You have a baseline beginning, what is the set of beliefs that people have. And then we have the set of beliefs at the end of the course, and we see the gap that has changed, and that is the improvement in the attitude. After that, we need to have tools by which people can start measuring the way they behave. And that changes from, you know, activity to activity, like how often you give feedback, what was the outcome, get feedback on your feedback from other people, etc. There are means to measure it. But yes, I'm absolutely adamant about measuring almost everything. Almost everything. That drives people nuts with it. Insane.
I love these things about you. You know, you just pointed out something so valuable in that the paradigm, if I can use that beat up, you know, overused cliche.
No, but it's true.
The paradigm of teaching, of training for decades has been based on motivation,
yep,
inspiration, and not, and this is my opinion, and not results, which is one of the things that I attempted to challenge with Success by Design's on training.
Yeah.
Now, here's the amazing thing that I find that's both congruent and different about what you and I do and see things. I saw the models that weren't working, or in my opinion, were somewhat bankrupt. It's not like they didn't work at all. But as society and the culture changed, these things didn't change. They were still taught, still trained. So I created, or set out to create, another possibility for how they could work. What's amazing about you and what attracts me to you and what you do is you've gone back and looked at those models and asked what was missing to get those models to work again. And that is just, that just dazzles me about you. And I get, what I really get from you is your passion and your conviction that's behind it. Because can you say more, Jorge, what is it that really you're passionate about in your work? Did you actually source the name Human Engineering for the type of training you do? Is that yours?
Yeah, it's mine. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Now, what that will call forth with many people is like genetic engineering. I mean, they'll be thrown to that. But the thing that's remarkable about this is you're talking about engineering the mind, engineering the self, engineering human possibility. And
yes,
that is just so amazing to me. Can you say more about how you came up with that and how that's guided you?
Well, actually, it just came like so many of the And sometimes I'm a kitchen of ideas, and sometimes there are too many of them, and I lose some of them if I don't write them quick enough. It was just, everybody talks about re-engineering, business re-engineering, process re-engineering. I mean, we've been all there through all the cliches and all the faith.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've all been there. And there was one which always bothered me, is that we are working with human attitudes and behaviors, and we want to measure them. And to measure them, you're getting into the engineering field, which is what we did in manufacturing. I did a lot of productivity and quality work in manufacturing companies. So I worked on the human side, helping managers use the data of their system. First of all, designing management systems, implementing systems, and teaching them the attitude set and the behaviors needed to run their systems profitably and with high quality standards. Mind you, I mean, you know, like total quality, like Deming went to Japan and taught the Japanese total quality, and they came and devastated the American market industry with their quality, right? Mm-hmm. But they learned it from an American. They didn't learn it from a Japanese, because Kaizen came after what Deming did in Japan. But that's an anecdote. So what I realize is that engineering, creating the conditions for people to see themselves, and I often use the term, I'm a mirroring mentor, I mirror. I ask questions. I very seldom give advice, very, very seldom. I think, you know, if we work together, you're seldom going to hear me telling anything to anybody. I will ask questions, and I find that the better the questions are, people will come up with the answers, and people have what it takes. They have it in them. We just need to be unleashed. It needs to be uncovered. It needs to be released. And that's the engineering part, being the mirror to them, asking the right questions, and then coaching them to start seeing what I see. And often, you know, I mean, I have many testimonials of managers of different levels in parts of the world that will confirm what I'm saying now is, well, I mean, it was all out there. It was right on the table. It was right in front of me for years. I never saw it. I mean, it was in my pocket. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't my computer. It wasn't my screen. So I think the engineering part comes from, I am being the one that is, I'm being instrumental to make it visible, to make it tangible for the trainees, for the coaches, for the mentees to grab it and put it to work. And if we give them tools to start measuring it, then they can gauge that this measurement becomes lasting, measurable and lasting. Because I always say, you know, revolving change is a sort of transformational human engineering, is what introduction of all the videos I do, that's the definition of revolving change. But transformational human engineering, it's a mouthful, but it means they're going to modify the way they do things. They start by their attitudes, their behaviors, but then the processes and the actual disciplines, the actual way of working. And is that change that makes it measurable and therefore lasting? Because lasting change can only be lasting if we are measuring it. Otherwise, there's no way that we know it would last, and it will not last. Historically, and I mean, I fell into the trap, I think probably all of us have, that we know what is the right thing to do, and we stop doing it. And people ask you, why did you stop doing it? And I go, like, well, I don't know. It just, you know, happened. It's like, sorry. Because we're not measuring it, so.
Yeah, I want to ask you. You mentioned earlier Brandon Bouchard is somebody that you follow.
Yes.
Are there any other heroes that you have, or people that have influenced your work? Did you?
Oh, Nightingale, Rome, Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins, not from the. I admire Tony a lot, because I mean, we're all self-made. I guess the difference between him and I is about $100 million. Other than that, we are about the same. I wouldn't care. I mean, he is a different caliber, but he works a lot on the emotion. He drives massive emotions in large groups of people, which is not my kind of work. But the delivery, the content of Tony, which is Jim Rohn's content to a large extent.
We had Jim's partner on.
Jim Britt. So, but it's not just the content, it's the delivery of the content. That's where I think the key point comes of where we are more or less successful. And I think that's been one of my lucks, maybe, where I've had the clarity of mind to adapt my delivery to the culture that I'm working in. When I'm working with people in Thailand, I will not be as abrasive as I am now. I will not let my emotions come out, and I'm not going to be as outspoken as I'm now because it would be offensive for their culture.
Yeah.
They would have a hard time with it. Whereas if I'm in the U.S., probably I need to even be louder than I'm now. Whereas I'm in Brazil, we can start making jokes and dancing and singing at the same time, and they would be receptive. Where in Germany, we'll have to be more formal. It can be funny, but you have to be more formal. So I think it's adapting to the receptiveness of the audience is fundamental. And that brings me on to having learned from all these different coaches the content, the techniques, but the actual delivery is my own. So I'm not imitating anybody. I think Brendan, I have a lot of my delivery is similar. It's similar sometimes to Brendan's, but I mean, Brendan's much younger than me, so it's not that I copied him. I was doing this before he did. But when I see him today, his demeanor, his even when he makes mistakes, I react the same way. I just laugh about my mistake, whereas maybe 10 years ago, we were like, oh, my God, where are we going to go hiding, right? Today, I just laugh about it, like, okay, you know. Or do I say something? I mean, Vicky is here. Vicky knows that. We are on a call, and I say something. I'm like, oh, did I just say what I just said? Did I really say that? Okay, I take it back, but it's said. So that happens to me. And it happens to me in live casts, but I am what you see, and what you see, what you get. Take it or leave it.
You're just right. The reason I brought that question up is one of my coaches once told me, never trust a coach that doesn't have a coach. And
very true.
As I listen to you, I realize how much I have to learn.
We all do, Russ. I mean, who of us doesn't? I mean, I've been spending courses with Pat Flynn, for instance, for weeks. I've been taking courses with what's her name? It's this girl, a Canadian. I forgot her name now.
Stacey Hall. Oh no.
I'm in the States, and it could be anybody. But I love that you are studying with Pat Flynn. Actually, people don't know about him in the community.
Sean Cannell. I'm following him very closely. Also, yeah. I've been learning a lot from them. Because, I mean, if I want to be active in social media, I need to understand how does YouTube work, how do videos work, how do I do a good thumbnail. So, I mean, like I said earlier, and I meant it, I'm an analog dinosaur, you know. When I grew up, we had no telephone, no TV. I became the IT manager in my business because I was the only one that knew where the on and off button were. Cause that's all I knew, but I was a champion. So, yeah, I said it earlier at the beginning of the call, I spent a lot of money the last 2 years with many, many courses. And I can't say they're really my mentors in that sense, but I've been learning from them a lot and attending a lot of courses because it's more technical knowledge. But also marketing-wise, you know, marketing on YouTube. Now YouTube, I'm following, understanding that their algorithm has changed, so we need to modify the way we are marketing on YouTube. And when I think, you know, because at the beginning, and that's maybe interesting, because I find it funny myself about myself, I was like, oh, I'm competing with all these young people. They're doing all these videos, and they're so good on camera, and I'm terrible on camera, and they got all this equipment, and I have nothing. And what am I going to do? And they're so much better. And then I realize that in a year and a half, 2 years, I start not getting at par, but I start getting closer to many of them. I know where to find resources because I don't know what a good thumbnail is, but I need to find somebody who does it for me, and I will tell them what is good or what is wrong, what is bad and what is good, what is right and what is wrong. I don't need to do it myself, although I know how to, but I don't have to. But what they don't have is my almost 40 years of experience.
Yeah.
So, and I realize that I have an edge over them, where I thought first they have an edge over me. Well, they do, then first 10 minutes we talk about IT and social media, maybe so. But when it comes down to the essence of behavior engineering and change management and helping people excel, no, they can't. Because they don't have the experience. They're probably going to be excellent at what they do because they have a tremendous knowledge, but they still need the experience, which they don't have. But then I will have retired, so I'm not worried about it.
I'm glad you brought up social media. There is a new paradigm in social media, a new possibility for social media working for people, and it's called the Noble Goldman Vault, which is how you and I and why you and I are really having this conversation.
Yep.
I think anybody listening to you for the last 50 minutes wants more of you. I'm very excited that you're in a conversation about a television show. Well, I say that what you have to give is so valuable, it goes past what any television show could do. You need to be in conversation with people a couple times a week or at least once a week all over the world and have people hear you, hear your story, and get your wisdom. And that's what The Vault is about providing. It's about contribution. It's the first social media platform that I've ever seen that or know of that actually puts a premium on contribution over contact. And when you know, it would be one thing to read about you. It would be another to hear a recording of you. But there's no substitute for this right
for
now.
Live.
This
That's
is somebody
true.
Who actually, the people that are here today are meeting you. They're watching you. They're hearing you. And they're getting you. And that's what's so exciting. And you could say that's Zoom, but it's actually not Zoom. It's how Zoom is being utilized for another purpose.
Absolutely. Sure.
And so I see this enormous possibility and congruency between what you're up to and what this platform can provide you, a new way of working with social media that won't intimidate you a bit, because all you need to do is show up and be you. And the world gets the gift. And you get the world. And that's the beauty of this. And maybe some people will think that that's a flagrant advertisement. It is. And I don't apologize for it. It is.
Do not apologize.
Yeah, I'm not apologizing.
I was going to say, it's like YouTube is on its way out as Noble Goldman comes on in, Jorge. This is the place where you get to say what you want to say. And folks who want to hear it will gravitate to you. The rest of us here would love for you to bring your
Thank
audience
you.
In as well and share you. We'll share our audiences with you. And this
appreciate
is the
that.
Place
Thank
to
you.
Be.
Well, what I'm committed to is millions of people knowing you just like I do to this point. And I know we haven't known each other long. But every time I'm with you.
But it feels long, by now.
It does.
Yeah,
everybody says that about me. Yeah, it feels like a long time, Ralph. Now, what we would like, the path we're on is the same path. The way we think about training is the same. It's the same thing. It's different. But it has the sameness to it. And what I've noticed about this community, this ecosystem that we're all creating, that Vicky and you and Stacy and I and Enrique and everyone else here are a part of. This community is something that has a soul. It has a different feel to it. It doesn't have, and I don't know if this is the correct word, other types of social media that I'm aware of feel sterile to me. They're sterile.
They are. They are. Yes, they are.
There's something antiseptic about them. Where you don't, you get something there, you get value, but you don't get it like you get this. And you know, this has been one of the fastest hours I can ever remember spending on anything. I've been here fascinated by you. I have barely let Stacy talk, but Stacy, please, you know, I want you to.
I just want to make sure that the folks who are watching get their questions asked. Well, keep on going. I'm with you. I looked at the clock and went, what?
Well, so is there anyone, and you, Enrique, you and Stacy pay closer attention to the chat than I have. And Jane Fairchild had that great question that I think we got answered about what's next for you. What, you know, what's the new horizon for you? And you answered that so well. Is there anybody that has anything pressing that to ask Jorge, other than is he single and how handsome he is or something like that? Go by that. Okay. Anyone? If not, Jorge. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. It's not so much a question as it is an acknowledgement, Jorge. You are obviously up to something big and lots of something big. I want to acknowledge you for saying that you are taking in your future, you're taking time to take care of yourself. Because when the momentum starts rolling, and I know this personally, which is why when I get a little under the bar, my respiratory system lets me know, I went through that myself, and that you put recognizing that taking care of you is taking care of the rest of the world. And if you have anything more you wanted to say about that, it is such an important topic for influencers to hear.
Well, yes. I mean, I made the mistakes many of us have done, right? Burned the candle at both ends. I wound up with a heart condition for sleeping only 2-3 hours per night for 15 years. I accomplished great things and helped lots of people and generated lots of change and made fantastic amounts of money, but I almost ruined my life and my health. So I changed that. I more than doubled my sleep. So I'm at between 6 and 7 hours, which is great. I lost, 20 pounds, by proper, my food hygiene is excellent. It has been excellent for many, many years. No sugars. So, keeping tabs of what I eat, when I eat it, intermittent fasting, and sports, which have been neglected the last 2 weeks because I've been under a lot of pressure, and I have not been sleeping enough, so I've cut a bit on the sports because I'm going to get injured if I don't. But I'm back into my water skiing. I'm starting on Friday again, water skiing. Scuba diving, I hope November, when we can travel more, I'm going to start doing my twice a year, 3-week trips to proper, and only scuba dive and feed sharks. My passion are sharks. Sharks and wrecks. Not together, okay? Not wrecked sharks, but sharks and wrecks. That's my passion.
Like shipwrecks? Shipwrecks, exploring?
Yes, shipwrecks. Yes, shipwrecks. Yeah, I love shipwrecks. Yeah. And the key is to keep this, what I call, there's a fallacy. That's one of little riff I'm going to make soon is about work-life balance. Work-life balance does not exist. Because balance means we are in balance. We cannot be in balance. That means 50-50. It's impossible. Physically, time-wise, emotionally, financially, impossible. What we need to have is harmony. And people don't focus on harmony. They focus on balance. And balance is the wrong thing to focus on. So I'm going to do a riff on that because I think I would like to share with people that are struggling trying to focus on balance, which is not doable. But harmony, sometimes we do more of one to then compensate and go back and do more of the other. At the end of the day, we did achieve a certain balance, but on the execution of it, it has to be harmonious, which means we need to have enough time for the family, for the children, for the grandchildren, for our sports, for our health, for our checkups, for take care and talk to our people, talk to our employees, talk to our partners. So that was a long answer.
That's all right. Let's send it back over to Russ, but I have to tell you, the harmony thing, I could just jump through the computer and...
You're welcome.
My word, I've been saying for years, no balance, let's go for harmony. So Russ, back over to you.
No, we're ready to bring this to a close, but Deb Neary commented, what a valuable distinction that is, and it's just one of the gold nuggets you've brought here today. Jorge, I want to thank you for being
thank
here.
Thank you all.
I want to acknowledge you for the gift that you are and the honor that it is to present you to this community. And boy, you did not disappoint. You delivered just big time.
I'm glad. I'm very humbled and I appreciate it.
Well, I can't wait to work with you in the future, and I can't wait for people to see you in the vault. By the way, I'm going to put you on the spot. The vault is in your sights, right? That is something we can look forward to.
You absolutely.
Okay.
No question about it. No question about it.
I want to nail that one down for you, Vicky. So everybody, thank everyone for coming today. I want to thank my beautiful and talented co-host, Stacy Hall. You're amazing. Jorge, God bless you.
Thank you all very much.
And take care.
Appreciate
of yourself. That's the George Madu Show. It's a wrap. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segment. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? they're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.